Do not adjust your television. What you are about to experience is stranger than fiction.
Hey there, strangers, and welcome back to Stranger Than Fiction.
Woohoo!
I'm Devin.
Hello, I'm Heidi.
And we are your co-hosts. We also run the YouTube channel Channeling Spirits, where we break down all sorts of supernatural and spooky things. But for our podcast...
we channel spirits.
Nope, that is not... that is no... you know, we get that confused a lot. Like, I'll get, like, followers on Twitter, and they'll, like, think, like, we're, like, mediums or spiritualists or something.
I mean... they're not wrong.
The name is a little deceptive, but for our podcast...
for our podcast, we will take an episode or a movie or something of a show that we know and love. We like all supernatural things, so it's probably going to be a spooky show. And we will talk about it, break down the episode, and then we'll talk about the real life correlations. So whether there is an actual boogeyman or...
Real life encounters, yeah, or things that may have inspired it. So speaking of Supernatural, we are going to be covering Supernatural Season 1, Episode 4.
Yes.
If you've missed it, we have actually done the first three episodes. Mm-hmm. We will not do every single episode. There's some episodes I just simply don't want to do. And also, like, some, like, there's only so many times we can talk about, there's a vampire again. So
we'll cover that, though. Don't worry.
Oh, we will go over vampires. We've already covered, energy vampires with Colin Robinson. But this episode is called Phantom Traveler. Mm. And it's a fun episode. We will break it down in a moment. We are going to be covering, I would say, kind of the inspiration. And they do mention Flight 401 and the events that follow it. That's what we're going to be going over today. Just as a slight recap, because we left on a dangling thread where we talked about our Halloween costumes, and I said next time we would talk about it, hoping that we would get an episode out before Halloween. We didn't.
Life happens.
It happens. We had fun dressing up as...
WandaVision, WandaVision.
Wanda and Vision.
Yes.
We were not WandaVision.
No, we were, yes.
We were...
technically, we were?
Yes. But we were like the Wanda and Vision
Halloween costumes.
Yeah, like the typical comic book costumes that they wear, I think, in episode 6.
Yes, the Halloween episode. So I was wearing the fun pink tights and red...
little headdress thing.
Yeah, and the red spandexy type outfit with the cape. And Devin got to paint his face red and wear very skin tight.
It was very weird.
Yeah, it was great.
Neither of us really could handle the gloves well because you couldn't, like, swipe through your
phone. You can't type, man.
Yeah. But we posted some photos on our social media if you missed those, so check them out. We had a fun time. Hopefully you had a fun Halloween. But without further ado, let's get to...
Heidi's Dissection.
Okay, so... in this episode, it starts off at an airport, and there's this guy freaking out in the bathroom, and he's like...
who you thought was...
I thought he was doing coke.
Not in the bathroom, like, because the first shot is, like, he just, like, lifts his head
up. Yeah, you know, literally, and I was like, oh, this guy's just doing coke, and then they pan out, and you're like, oh, he's at the airport. Well, all right. So, anyway, he goes to the bathroom, and...
Doesn't do coke.
Fine. And there is this weird smoke monster that comes out of the vent and goes into the nervous flyer. And all of a sudden he's chipper and ready to fly because possession is happy.
Yeah, he's feeling much better now.
Yeah, right? Like, nervous to fly? Just get possessed by a demon.
Oh, spoilers.
Oh. So anyway, they get on.
It's a demon.
Yes, they get... he gets on the plane, and it's not a real airline. I made note of that. It was Great Britannia Airlines or something like that.
Well,
it was not real.
I'm sure they... it's not like Qantas.
All airlines have crashed at one time or another. That doesn't mean that they are not safe.
Qantas.
Qantas?
Qantas never crashed.
But, you know, they don't want any bad press.
Yes. The first thing I thought when they were all on the plane, I was like, where are your masks? Oh. Literally, that came into my head because that's how we're trained now. So anyway, he's on the plane and he's doing just fine. And he gets up to go to the bathroom.
Doesn't he say like, what time is it? Yeah. Or how long have we been in the air?
Yes. And so he does. He's like, he asks his neighbor, his partner next to him, not partner, his seat buddy.
hey, buddy.
I'm really committing to this relationship. Just some stranded person you're sitting next to on a plane. Anyway, he says, you know, hey, how long have we been up here? And the woman's like, oh, we've been up here 40 minutes. And he goes, well, time really does fly.
Wow. Time really does fly, huh?
And she's like, shut the
fuck up. Yeah, okay. Your pun is hilarious. Yeah. I hope you die. Oh.
So anyway, he goes to go to the bathroom and he makes eye contact with this guy and you see his eyes turn completely black and he gives this creepy smile and the guy who's sitting in the back row is like, what? And then he just opens the door.
Yeah, like
the
emergency side door, which you can't humanly open.
Yeah, he just opens it and he's like, goodbye.
Bye.
And then he gets sucked out of the plane, and obviously that causes the plane to crash. And that's the episode. No.
That's the stinger.
Anyway, so Dean, fast forward to Dean getting a phone call to talk with some random guy that his dad had helped in the past, who works for the airport.
You and your dad helped me out a couple years back.
Oh, right. Yeah, up in Katanning, Pennsylvania, the poltergeist thing.
And he's like, hey, I need you to come listen to this recording we caught on the black box of the recent plane crash. And so Dean and Sam go, and of course they listen to it, and they can hear demon noises. You know, the
exactly
normal.
Exactly what it sounds like.
Exactly. And then in it, though, you hear it say, no survivors.
No survivors.
It's like,
dun, dun, dun.
No survivors. And they're like, well, there were 7 survivors. So, demon, I think you got it wrong.
Not a great demon.
And so they're like, okay, well, let's go see some of the survivors. Particularly, they want to go see the one who made eye contact with him right before he opened the door, right?
Which he was in the back of the plane. Plane went, you know, nose first. So
he survived.
Yeah, he's okay, but he's...
He's not mentally okay. So he checked himself into an institute for mental health. And so they go see him and he's like, yeah, I can't really tell you what I saw. And then he tells them what he saw.
Well, he's like, hasn't Homeland Security, like they've already like met him.
Yeah.
And so he's like, why are you guys visiting again? And he's like, I don't know what more than I can tell. And they're like, oh, did this person like seem like a mirage? They're like thinking it's some sort of like ghost or trying to pinpoint what this is because they don't know it's a demon quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, he's like, no, he was a solid dude. Like he flew out of the plane. Like it was a guy.
What are you, nuts? He was a passenger. He was sitting right in front of me.
Yeah. So anyway, they decide to act like Homeland Security and they suit up to get to see the plane wreckage. And Sam looks good in the suit. Dean looks good too, but he's not happy about it. And so they fool. Apparently, you could just go up, show up in a suit and be like, hey, we're Homeland Security.
No, because they have a thing where Dean's at a photocopy place and he makes a little Security
it's
ID.
It's very Doctor Who of, because in Doctor Who,
like
he just shows
paper.
The psychic paper and they're like, oh, yes, of course, come in. And so they go check out the plane and how it's laid out is really cool. I don't know if this is how they do plane autopsies, if you will, but if there's been a crash, they kind of like piece the pieces together that they found.
It's like an outline.
And they try to figure out what happened. So that was really cool because I'm sure it maybe had that. Anyway, so they go to the plane wreckage and they find some black goop on the door that was ripped off.
Goopy.
And so they collect that.
Stuff is covered in sulfur.
And then they're like analyzing it and stuff. Meanwhile, the pilot that was flying the plane, it's his time to be back at work. I don't know how much leave he got. Clearly not enough. And he's like, okay, like we're gonna start slow and fly a small plane.
I don't remember, but it's possible that the stinger, like the opening, was months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember specifically in the episodes, but it may have been. Like, it may have been like, oh, this was 4 months ago, and, like, you know, things are happening.
Yeah. So he, they start off with a small plane first, make sure he's good flying it before he can start moving on to the bigger normal commercial airlines. And so the pilot is having anxiety because obviously the last time he flew a plane, it crashed. And his co-pilot's like, come on, you'll be fine. And the smoke monster just happens to be lurking and goes into the nervous pilot. And then all of a sudden he's, all right, let's go. I'm ready to fly. No anxiety here. And so
Demon doesn't do a really good job camouflaging itself. And maybe that's pretty typical of demons. But it's just like, maybe it'd be a little bit more subtle. So you don't like make anybody think like, hey, are you possessed by a demon?
Yeah. And so the pilot is up in the air with his co-pilot and he's like, hey, how long have we been up here? Sounds familiar. And his co-pilot's like, about 40 minutes. So my question is, well, does he ask every time? Like, he just knows it's been 40 minutes. And so he asks, like, why is that his stinger?
But I would think that on your first flight, like, they'd probably do like a little quick one, like 15, 20 minutes, right? Not like 40 plus minutes in the air. But yeah, to your point, like, dude, look at your watch. Like, the demon's really good at knowing that it's about, like, he's got that internal clock, but he's always got to verify.
Yeah. And so he says, you know, how long have we been up here? And so the co-pilot says, 40 minutes. And he says, well, time really does fly.
Wow. Time really does fly.
Again, and then decides to nosedive the plane and crash it. And he dies.
The end.
And so Sam and Dean start figuring out that this demon that's possessing people is going after all of the survivors of the plane crash because in his initial recording, he said no survivors. That was clearly his plan. So now he's got to fulfill his plans by going after the others. And so they somehow figure out that the flight attendant is next. She's next to get on a plane because she's a flight attendant.
Yeah, I think everybody else, like, they've called and they've like,
I'm never getting on a plane. Yeah, exactly. Which I never would either.
Yeah.
And so the smoke monster demon is going after the flight attendant and Dean and Sam are like, all right, we got to get on this plane to stop it. And we figure out that Dean is actually scared of flying.
Which I like because there's several times in the series where like Dean, who's is not afraid of almost anything. But then there's moments when you see like little bends in his armor where you're like, oh, you're scared of flying. Like,
Why do you think I drive everywhere, Sam?
And it's not like Sam's goofy, like, I'm afraid of clowns. Man up, Sam. Be afraid of flying.
Okay, so they're on the plane and they're like, all right, we got 40 minutes to figure this out. Not a great plan.
Gotta get that and Scooby-Doo so done.
They're like, let's go talk to the stewardess to see if she's possessed by the demon. They're like, well, how do we know she's possessed by a demon? And they say, well, say God's name. They don't like demons.
Latin.
Yeah. And so he's like, say it in Latin, which is Christo. And so he just like shimmies back to the stewardess and is like having a casual conversation with her. And then all of a sudden he's just like,
Christo?
And she's like, what?
Yeah. And then he's like, Christo? And she's like, I'm sorry, what? And he's like, never mind.
I have to go now.
And then he pieces out. So clearly she's not possessed yet. And so they have to find the demon, right? Their whole plan is to do an exorcism, but in order to perform an exorcism, you got to find the demon.
Can't just do row-by-row exorcisms.
I mean, you could, but that would be time-consuming. So they walk around with his homemade EVP, which is, like, made out of a cassette player?
EMF.
Oh, EMF. Just say EVP.
Definitely EVP on the cockpit voice recorder.
It's different ghost hunting thing, but...
Okay, sorry. And he finds that it's the pilot. And he confirms it by saying Christo, and the eyes go black.
And he's like, ugh.
Yeah. And then he's just like, okay, back to normal.
Which, again, you think, like, the demon at that point, and this will play in, like, to their plan later, like, the demon's like, someone's on to me, because you don't just drop Christo? In normal conversation. So you think the demon be like, I'm going to lock the cockpit and just not come out at
right?
all.
So they go to the flight attendant, whose name is Amanda, right? And they're like, Amanda, this is going to sound crazy, but we know that you were on flight 401 a couple months ago and it crashed. Well, a demon is possessing people to take out the survivors and you're next. And they're like, we need you to get the pilot to come back here so we can talk with him because he's possessed by the demon. And she's like, okay. Like, no hesitation. She's like, all right, that sounds legit. I'm going to lose my job, endanger the whole plane.
I think she does. Doesn't she kind of push
she's
back?
Like, she's like, I could lose my job for this, but...
Do you know that I could lose my job?
Okay, well, you could lose a lot more than that if you don't help us out.
Okay.
It's fine.
And so they get the pilot back there, and immediately they punch him in the face, and she's like, oh my God. And they put holy water on him, and he starts to burn like a demon would, and they begin the exorcism, right? And so they're beginning this exorcism, and it comes out of him, and it goes into the plane itself and causes the plane to drop.
So yeah, there's a lot of...
I was like, does it need to possess a person if it can just possess the plane?
Yeah, I had some real issues there, because it was just like, well, if you could do that, you don't need a host, so what's the point of any of this?
It's nice and warm. And so, you know?
Oh, that's got weird.
And so... Right, the plane is dropping out of the sky. Everyone's freaking out, particularly Dean, who's like literally up against the door, like screaming as this plane is dropping. And Sam finishes the exorcism, and the plane is all good again. And they lived happily ever after.
Yeah, exorcised demon. I mean, it was kind of a bigger issue, though, that they realized because this was the first. I mean, one, this is. Fourth adventure for Sam and Dean in their adult life. Sam's been out of it for a while. Normally, Dean has got, you know, his dad, who is this elder, who is
he's a pro.
Yeah, like, he's been doing this for years and years and decades. And so they're feeling, you know, out of it. They're like, a demon, like, we don't know really how to handle that. Mm-hmm. So it was a good, I like that they were out of their depth. And then at the end, they asked the gentleman who had got them involved in this thing, who worked for the airlines, who his dad had like cleared a poltergeist for him, mm-hmm. and was like, how did you get a hold of our dad? Like, we haven't been able to. And he's like, oh, I just called this number.
Well, yeah, when they call their dad's phone, now all of a sudden it says, if you need anything, call my son Dean.
Yeah, but the fact that, you know, like, this was a pretty recent that John Winchester has been contacting people, but not his sons. And you're like, okay, so you're alive.
Douche move.
What are you doing, Johnny? So, but they kind of leave it on that. Like, you know, once again, the breadcrumbs keep going down of like, where's John? What's going on? What's, you know, and they do a good job kind of building the greater narrative and not just Monster of the Week, which I enjoy. Speaking of, you want to move on to our review and how many demons would you exorcise out of this episode?
Oh, I would give it, you know me, I'm such a picky
You're
person.
Very hard.
Six exorcise demons.
I will match you at six, because last time you yelled at me for giving it like a slightly higher grade.
I think six is pretty standard. It was all right. Like, it wasn't my favorite episode. It was just all right.
It's a weird episode, because an airline, I get it, it's a confined space, but it's a weird place for a demon to dwell. It's mm-hmm. not a typical place. Like, to me, it very much reminds me of the classic Twilight Zone mm-hmm. with the gremlin.
Don't remind me. I literally can't sit next to a wing on a plane. That's why I don't like window seats, literally. I always take the aisle.
There's a lot of people who are happy you don't like window seats, but... And you and I recently were watching, I've never seen it, but you had, we happened to be in a hotel watching television, and you're like, oh, I've seen this movie. They all want to like get on an airplane, and this guy is like a freak out and a premonition. Mm-hmm. And
Final Destination?
Yeah, we figured out it was Final Destination, because yeah. I hadn't seen it. And you're like, I don't know, it was a long time ago. And it reminded me a bit of that.
For sure.
That. You have these individuals who have survived this accident, this disaster, mm-hmm. and something is going after them to kind of finish the job. But I feel like in that, there's a lot more, it's a lot more interesting, mm-hmm. because like the scenarios on the ground of how these people are getting like nixed off. It's not like, oh, I'm a demon who can only crash planes. Like, that's my only way I can deal with it.
I mean, clearly.
So I've just got to figure out a way of no survivors, but I've got to get them back on a plane, but I've got to take them out in the air. And
but
it's got to be 40
your
minutes.
Motive? Why did you want to take these people out? Were you an ex-traveler?
They kind of explain that essentially, like, there are some demons behind disasters.
You see, according to Japanese belief, certain demons are behind certain disasters, both natural and man-made. One causes earthquakes, another causes disease.
And this one causes plane crashes?
That just cause chaos, like demons
But why the 40-minute time limit?
They explain that, remember? No. They talk about in like numerology that like 40, like 40 days of the flood.
Seas boiling.
40 years of darkness.
That it's like a number of disaster.
It's biblical numerology. You know, Noah's Ark, it rained for 40 days. The number means death.
Which is kind of bogus, and they just kind of pull that out of nowhere. And it's like, well, 40 days is not 40 minutes. And
oh,
also,
and then the plane lands in Nazareth.
Yes, there's a lot of like biblical elements to that, which is, that's fine. I thought it was okay. I like demons later on in Supernatural. I like demons as a threat. I think they're kind of interesting on how they portray them because it's a little, it's very cable television.
Yeah, it's very CW.
Yeah, it's just like, what's the least amount of like makeup or, okay, we'll just make their eyes kind of black every once in a while. They look like mostly
creepy,
normal people. Sure. But it's just like, it's very cheap. You know, at no point do you ever get like moments when like you see their true demonic form.
Like Buffy.
Yeah. Like they're, at least with their vampires, like there's moments when like their face goes vampiric and monstrous. With this, it's just like, oh, you know they're a demon because they flash their eyes black. But earlier introduction to demons that I remember, I thought this happened a little bit later into the season and that they escalated a little bit more.
Got it.
But I think they do a good job. Like, it's the fourth episode. They've done ghost, monster, ghost, demon. And they just kind of keep, you know, gradually upping the stakes as the season goes on. And they expand a little bit. And, you know, we'll cover more of those. But it's got some fun stuff. But I'm wanting more. So I go with the six. Yeah.
The first season's not my favorite. Anyway, moving on.
Okay. Heidi's done with the review. Are you ready to go behind the screens?
Yes.
Not gonna do it?
Nope.
Oh, all right. So first thing I wrote down when we were watching the episode, there's like, I think it's at the beginning, the guy jokes, he's like, you know, the odds of dying in a plane crash are 1 in 20,000.
You know, what are the odds of dying in a plane crash? I mean, what? 20,000 to 1?
Mm-hmm.
Not true.
Yeah, I was like, that seems like a low statistic.
It is 1 in 9,821.
Oh, geez, that's a lot more than I thought.
Airline travel is very dangerous.
But don't be silly. It's the safest travel in the world. You're going to love this. Trust me.
So,
and dying in a plane crash or just being in a plane crash?
I don't remember now. Thanks a lot. And I believe it was dying.
Dang.
So, not to try and scare anybody like Dean from not going on airplanes, but I had to look that up and be like, and maybe in 2005 that was the statistic and it's just gotten way worse.
But to be fair, I'm sure the statistic for dying in a car accident is like 1 in 500, you know, something crazy.
So this episode debuted October 4th, 2005.
Whoa.
It was directed by Robert Singer. So if he sounds familiar, if you know the character Bobby Singer, he was named after him. So he was an executive producer. You know, Bobby, he's got the cap and the beard.
Yes.
Idjits.
Yes.
So later in another episode, Robert Singer is actually fictionally portrayed by Brian Doyle Murray in another episode called The French Mistake. And I really enjoy that one.
The French Mistake.
And apparently one of the Homeland Security ideas says Robert Singer as well.
That's fun.
So I was like, oh, so they were already like, clearly, you know, very impactful individual that there was a lot of love for him. This was written, and this was a cool connection just to our podcast, by Richard Haddam. He's the same person who wrote and co-produced The Mothman Prophecies.
My favorite.
So another shameless plug, we covered The Mothman Prophecies. If you are sticking along with us, that name may sound very familiar. I would have to go back and listen to our podcast to see if I actually said like, oh, and he actually wrote an episode of Supernatural.
I think you did.
I feel like it did. He wrote two episodes, one called Asylum and the other Phantom Traveler. I both believe are in the first season.
I think so. Also, my review of that was very low. Just spoilers.
And it's an amazing film. I loved it.
Mm.
So a lot of things change in this first episode of Demons. One, the black eyes don't fully cover the irises. Eventually that will change and they'll cover the complete eye. The smoke is more of a, like, almost like insects.
Yeah, it's like grainy.
Like a fog. Mm-hmm. And later it becomes more smoky.
It kind of reminded me of like Lost, like the Lost smoke monster.
Yeah. And so that changed a little bit. And this holy water will really make a visceral tissue damage, and then later seasons is kind of like they don't like it, and maybe there's like some like hisses,
Also, like, what was he squirting it out of? It was a weird looking. It looked like a soap dispenser.
I think it was like a squished water bottle.
It was so weird looking.
I don't know. Couldn't bring a whole lot of liquid on the plane, so he had to improvise.
He wouldn't have gotten that on the plane.
Nah, it's fine. So, I may have said it, but this actually isn't the first demon in Supernatural. This would be the second, because in the pilot episode, we see... Azazel. So...
Azazel.
You know, as much as this may be kind of the first time where Sam and Deem face off against a demon, certainly won't be the last. And we have actually seen a demon before, and we will cover more of old Yellow Eyes in a bit. Dean, as you incorrectly said, doesn't use an EVP, it's an EMF
meter. Sorry. It's a cassette player in this.
I absolutely love this prop. I looked into, like, to see if anybody, like, does kits. There is one. It's $400.
Woof.
It looks amazing. Props to, I know the creator's Dustin. I'll put a link if you are interested in making this EMF, but it's really, I really like that. And to me, it reminds me very much of Ghostbusters as a prop builder. Like, I really love the fun kind of cobbled together nature of it. That's just my little...
I just think... Apple Tater.
Tell us your name. Apple Tater?
Just like Apple Tater? As you said, there is Nazareth, Pennsylvania. That is a real place.
Oh.
So where Supernatural sometimes has completely fictional places.
Yes.
That is a real one.
And I mean, Pennsylvania has some weird cities. So Nazareth, Mars, Intercourse.
Those are all real places?
Those are all real places.
What do you do in Pennsylvania? Shout out to Pennsylvania listeners. Two more things. This is the only episode where a demon flies into someone's eyes and not their mouth. And I will say, I really don't like the eyes.
Yeah, that sounds painful as
But it doesn't seem as effective as when they smoke down someone's throat.
Eyes are the doorway to your soul.
I guess. I think it's dumb. This, they only say that they can possess someone that's emotionally or physically weak, which is why at the beginning with the guy who's not doing coke is like, he's all...
He's having an anxiety attack.
Yeah, he's having it rough. And then eventually it's like, demons can possess anyone, which I really don't like.
Yeah.
I feel like that should be a stipulation, is you have to have some sort
of... You have
to
be mentally distraught.
Yeah. And finally, this is the first time Sam and Dean's name, Winchester, is spoken. So at the end, he says, it's John Winchester.
This is John Winchester.
And it's the first time we hear the Winchester name.
Are they related to... the Winchester Mansion? Like, are they in line for it?
I think that, well, there's some intonation because it's very Western theme of, like, two gunslingers coming into town, that that's why their name was chosen. Now, whether in-universe they are related to the Winchester fortune, I don't know that.
I want to go to that mansion.
Well, one day.
One day.
I think we should cover the Winchester movie and talk about the mansion.
Sounds good.
I've thought about that. But anyway, let's move on.
To the truth.
Much as you try to bury it, the truth is out there.
The truth. I know I say it.
Oh, I was going to say, do you have something
It's else? Out there.
All right. So let's talk about Eastern Airlines Flight 104.
Oh, not 401?
It's
401.
Okay. The reason I had a little dyslexia is because this is Season 1, Episode 4, or 104, and that was going to be my first fact.
401.
So whether that was deliberate or not, but my dyslexia got the better of me there.
Womp womp.
So it is Flight 401, Season 1, Episode 04, which is an interesting little twist there.
I remember Flight 401.
Right. The one that crashed, and the airline salvaged some of its parts, put it in other planes, and then the spirit of the pilot and co-pilot haunted those flights.
Right.
So... on December 29th, 1972, Flight 401 departed JFK at 21:20. For those who don't know military time, that's 9:20 Eastern Standard Time.
Wait, this is real?
This is real.
Oh!
This is why it's the truth. So it was heading to Miami. It was going from JFK heading to Miami International. The plane was under the command of Captain Bob Loft, who had been with Eastern Airlines for 32 years with a total of 29,700 flight hours. So we're not talking somebody who just
new
to this. Yeah, he's done this a while. Specifically, he had flown 280 hours in a Lockheed L-1011, which was the type of plane. Yeah. So again, Not only had he done thousands of flight hours, but he knew this plane very well.
Shout out to our flight attendant friends.
Yeah. The flight was routine until 2332 as it approached Miami. After lowering the landing gear, they noticed the light for the nose landing gear didn't illuminate. They cycled the landing gear, you know, put it in, put it out. Still, it wouldn't illuminate, no change. They're like, well, we got to make sure that our nose just doesn't crash into.
Yeah, for sure, because kabooey.
Yeah, that's kind of important. So Captain Loft requested they enter a holding pattern with the tower at 2,000 feet above the Everglades. The second officer, Don Repo, was dispatched to confirm the landing gear was indeed down. So below deck,
Yeah, so they had someone looking up being like, yeah, it's down.
Well, like they went, you know, under the cockpit and they kind of poked through a hole.
You can do that?
Yes.
You can poke through a hole?
No, no, no. Like he's looking through a hole to make sure.
I imagine just a small door opens like, yep, it's good.
He's just depressurized the plane. No, no, no. He's looking through kind of a hole to see, yes, indeed, the landing gear is down. Great.
Planes creep me out.
So while they were doing this, though, they're very concerned about this landing gear. They had placed the plane in autopilot, and it remained level for about 80 seconds, and then it dropped 100 feet. But it was so gradual that nobody noticed. And then about 10 minutes before they were about to go down, all of a sudden the captain looked up and realized, holy crap, we have descended drastically. And 10 seconds before he could do anything, the whole plane crashed.
Jeez.
So it caused a total of 101 fatalities.
Oh my God.
Only 75 passengers and crews survived.
Wow.
So
did the pilot survive?
No. Captain Bob Loft and that second officer, Don Repo, both did not make it. So fast forward to early 1973. So about a month or so has passed. It's in Newark, New Jersey. A captain of an Eastern Airlines flight, obviously not 401, is asked to check on a passenger in first class. The passenger is another Eastern pilot, deadheading, and if you're not familiar with that, essentially it's a member of the airline crew is flying, they're not paying, they're not being paid, they're just trying to get home or transport themselves. They are deadheading, but they aren't on the manifest. So the man refused to answer any questions, and he just stared straight ahead. When the captain arrived, he recognized him immediately as Bob Loft.
What?
Where was the flight headed?
Miami.
To Miami.
I'm in Miami, bitch.
Nope, I gotta bleep that out.
It's a song.
So over a year and a half, several Eastern Airline employees reported seeing Bob Loft and Don Repo on a flight from Atlanta to Miami.
Atlanta?
A flight engineer found a uniformed crew member already sitting in a seat. The man turned to him and said, you don't have to worry about pre-flight, and then vanished. It was Don Repo. On another flight, a flight attendant reportedly saw Repo's reflection on an oven door in the galley. Another attendant saw Loft's face staring back at her when she opened an overhead bin.
Nope.
It sounds terrifying.
I would quit. I would probably pass out.
Again, this flight was going from New York to Miami.
So, fun fact, never fly from New York to Miami. That's what you're telling me.
Well, you don't have to fly Eastern.
Dear flight attendant friends, have you seen a ghost flying from New York to Miami?
We'd love to know. Even an Eastern vice president saw Loft at JFK on a plane preparing to take off. Can you imagine, like, you're just like, you look over and in a cockpit, there is a dead pilot just like flipping switches like, about time to take off. Like, what? That's my plane.
What year is it? So how many sightings were there? Like, this is crazy.
It's I don't have the exact figure.
This is Eastern Airlines?
Eastern Airlines, which is no longer around.
Yeah.
So reportedly, Eastern had salvaged parts from Flight 401, and then they fitted them specifically onto one aircraft, which was 318. The majority of the sightings occurred on 318. So what would happen is anytime you're on a flight, at least at that time, I don't know if this is still practiced today, but if there's something weird, it doesn't matter how weird, they're asked to log it in a logbook. So if you had something like, I saw a man's face in an overhead bin, put it in the logbook. But after all of these started getting reported, those pages were allegedly torn out. employees were told if they kept sharing ghost stories that they could get fired by management.
Oh my God.
And all of a sudden, about a year and a half later, a lot of this stopped. But it's also said that any parts from 401 were removed from any planes. And then all of a sudden, the sightings stopped.
Interesting.
So a lot of these reports came from the fact that, you know, there was this logbook and they were just like, I don't know what to say. Like, I saw a man and then he vanished. You want me to report everything? And that's what I saw. So have you found anything on, like, the total number?
No. Just that numerous passengers and crew members.
And I'm sure a lot of, I mean, the passengers may not have known so much, and I'm sure a lot of the crew knew Bob and Don, and so it was very easy to, like, know, like, well, obviously, if he's sitting there, I know what Bob looks like, and I know he's no longer with us. So I'm curious on some of the passengers.
It's interesting. Well, like, you can't tell a ghost story or you're going to get fired. Like, what?
And, of course, Eastern denies all that. They're like, no, we didn't do that. We didn't rip out any logbooks.
It literally says that right here. And Eastern's management warned employees that they could face dismissal if caught spreading ghost stories.
Yeah. And I don't know if, you know, it became disruptive, if all of a sudden, like, people were refusing to do certain flights, if, like, it became, like, some sort of logistical problem. But it's interesting that whatever happened, it became so much to the point that the one way to deal with it was like, listen, we're going to fire you if you don't stop this nonsense.
Yeah. Also, I love that it says they publicly denied that their planes were haunted. What airline's going to be like, yep, we got haunted planes?
I mean,
like,
nowadays, though, honestly, there's enough people out there that be like, come fly haunted
Spirit
Express.
Airline.
That actually would be probably a better selling point than most.
Well, it's called Spirit Airline because there's a chance you could die.
Oh.
Also, sorry. So, pieces of the wreckage can be found in the Ed and Lorraine Warren's occult museum in Monroe, Connecticut.
So, for those of you who don't know, who's Ed and Lorraine Warren?
Occult peeps.
You're literally the worst. I give you a layup and you just... Bwah. If you're familiar with The Conjuring, you may know Ed and Lorraine. They are demonologists. They're ghost hunters. I believe Ed is no longer with us. I believe Lorraine still is, but they went on all sorts of adventures. We will cover some of that, but yeah, I'm not surprised.
I want to go to their museum.
I don't know where their museum is. We'll have to check
it out. It's in Monroe, Connecticut.
Yeah, I have no idea where it is. So I did look it up. It is called psychometry, and that essentially that's when a spirit attaches itself to an object. So if you think of Annabelle the doll, psychometry. So, because I was kind of racking my brain, I was like, okay, well, how does a ghost attach to a part of a plane when this plane has been kind of disassembled so much? And it's, I guess it's interesting. Like, well, let's move on to I Want to Believe. Do you believe that that's possible?
For sure.
Do you believe these reports?
Yeah.
You don't think it could
mass hysteria. Dogs and cats living together. You know, I'm sure that there were some, like, maybe it could have started off as a joke or like, oh yeah, I saw a ghost. You know, I'm sure there were some. But, like, listen, people see what they see. I'm sorry. Opening an overhead container and seeing a head in there, I would die.
I believe the overhead compartment one. Like,
oh my God, that's terrifying.
I can buy that. I can buy the oven reflection.
Myself. Oh, yeah.
I find some of the, like, straight up them sitting there a little
or having conversations.
I mean, it's possible, but I don't personally know ghosts to be that corporeal and
hey,
that.
I already did your check for
it. I already did your pre-checks. Got you covered, buddy. But maybe. I think some of it was bandwagon. I'm curious on what caused the, like, threat of dismissal. Mm-hmm. That, to me, I'm like, oh, I don't know what was going on there.
But I mean, they probably were losing... They were probably losing business.
I wondered how public it was. Yeah. I will say, there was a book published, and I forget the title, that did some damage, and it was by Fuller something. So that may have also been part of it, is it may have been post that book's publication and that all of a sudden is just like people, yeah, they're losing revenue. And then if you're on a flight and you hear a flight attendant be like, oh, yeah, I saw the dead captain, you know, on my last flight. Be like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, the Ghost of Flight 401
was the name of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, I think it's possible. I haven't particularly heard, you know, I've heard of ghost haunting objects like a doll. I've heard of ghost haunting places. I've not heard too many examples of ghost haunting parts that have become a place, sort of like a plane. So
I mean, but how common is that?
I don't know. So I'd be curious on what others think. You know, what do you think that, you know, Flight 401 lived on, as it were? And that's also why those stories stopped, if the pieces were taken out of those planes,
mm-hmm.
that all of a sudden just kind of, you know, or did they do enough flights to Miami where they found peace? That to me is really interesting,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, if these cases are true and we're to take the word of everyone that saw these, that there were so many of, you know, they're going to Miami, you know, New Jersey, Atlanta, New York, all to Miami. Not every single, I'm sure, occurrence, but many of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's some interesting stuff there.
Flight attendant friends, if you have other ghost stories of being on a plane or something weird happening, let us know.
Yeah, if you've seen a gremlin on the wing,
nope.
and while you were looking out the window, nope. Heidi wants to know so she can sit at the window at the wing.
Listen, so I've been on a lot of planes in my lifetime, like a lot of planes in my lifetime, and I'll never forget once we were on a plane and it was during a storm and we hit an air pocket and the plane dropped hundreds of feet in the air.
Woo.
And the lights went out and everyone screamed. It was terrifying.
That sounds great. It was gremlins. It was demons.
No.
Who knows?
It wasn't night.
Of course it was. So let us know your thoughts. We are going to be covering other season one Supernatural episodes and more beyond that. We're going to keep covering various spooky things. If there's some episode or movie, some topic you think that would be good, let us know.
Sabrina.
Nope. That's the worst. But we hope you had a good Halloween. It's still spooky season for us. We haven't given up that ghost,
pun
intended.
We're spooky all year round.
We love having you join us in our spookiness. What do you think we should cover next week? Don't say Sabrina.
I don't know.
Great contribution.
I was trying to think of, it's November. I was like trying, what are spooky things in November? Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow's possibility. I was also thinking of The Crucible. When I was researching why do witches wear brooms, I thought, you know, kind of Puritan Thanksgiving, you know.
All right. I can see it.
May not be next week. Maybe the following week. Maybe we'll try and do that a little bit around Thanksgiving.
Only if I get to eat mashed potatoes while we're recording.
Nope. That would be very sloppy ASMR. Ew. Well, we love having you guys. Thank you so much. I'm Devin.
I'm Heidi.
And thank you so much for joining us.
Woo.
Spooky.